preach out of 1 Timothy chapter 4. Begin to read with me in this scripture. The Bible says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in words of faith, and of a good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continuing them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." And be seated this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to you. Help us now while we preach. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look in this scripture right here, as Paul is writing to Timothy, and he starts out talking about the apostasy that's going to be in the lives today. He said some is going to depart from the faith. He said they're going to do that because they've gave heed and that to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil. Things that were not true. You know, the devil does have a spirit, by the way. He has many spirits. If you go over and you look in the book of Little John, you'll find that he said, "Try the spirits, whether they be, and that of the Lord." The Lord has one spirit this morning, and that's the Holy Spirit. And you need to be guided by Him and that out of the Word of God. Notice right here that He deals in that with the Spirit and the doctrines of devils. You know what we're guided by? We're guided by the Spirit of God from the doctrine of God, the Word of God that we have before us. He said they're going to speak lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. They've told lies for so long and preached lies for so long that their conscience is seared with a hot iron. What might have bothered them one time don't bother them anymore. Hey, they'll tell a lie and it don't bother them. Hey, you better be careful. Now listen to me. You better be careful when somebody is preaching and teaching contrary and that to the Word of God. You need to be careful what you listen to. But he goes on to say this. He talks about some of their doctrine in verses 3 and that through verse 5 that they forbid to marry. And we know that's against God's doctrine. He ordained marriage over there in the garden. Jesus didn't forbid it. As a matter of fact, that's where he and that proved his first miracle at, was at the marriage in Cana. And then Paul uses that as a relationship between the Lord Jesus Christ and His church, and that relationship between a husband and a wife, a son, and that forbid to marry, and also to abstain from meats. And Paul says it's sanctified by the word of God and by prayer, and we give thanks for it. And then he said, put the brethren in remembrance of these things, teach these things, preach these things. And he said, you'll be nourished up, and that by the word of God. I said, refuse profane and old wives' fables. I listen to what people think. Superstition, what's been handed down over the ages. He said, you refuse them because all that matters is the Word of God. He said, exercise yourself to godliness. Bodily exercise, you're going through there, says that it profits little. Didn't say that it didn't profit. It just said that it profits little. Hey, godliness is far more profitable than bodily exercise. Hey, living godly and exercising godliness in our life, I'm going to deal with that here in a minute, is far better than getting this body in shape. Not that you ought not to have it in shape. Not that you shouldn't do the best that you can with it. Be careful what you eat. Exercise that thing. But when it comes to spiritual matters, you can exercise this body all you want to, and it ain't going to help you. Amen. You need to exercise in godliness. And by the way, it is an exercise in godliness.
Right.
How many of us like to exercise?
Yeah.
I don't like to. Now, I'll be honest. Put your hand down, Miss Sarah. She's over here going like, yes, you know. Man. But I'll be honest with you. I walked a mile and a half there yesterday, and that was the best that I'd felt all day while I was doing it. I didn't feel good before I done it, and I really didn't feel good after I done it, but I felt good while I was doing it. Amen. And it'll help us out. Bodily exercise does help us out. But godliness is far better. It's what Paul's telling us right here. Living godly is far better than getting this thing in shape. We need to keep the inner man in shape. And he goes on down through here, and he tells us in verse 10, therefore we labor and suffer reproach. And he told why they labored and suffered reproach, because they trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially to those that believe. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the Savior of all men.
That's right.
But he's only your Savior if you've come to him. Amen. You've got to have a personal relationship with him. I'm going to deal with verse 12 in a minute. He said, till I come, give attendance to reading, exhortation, and to doctrine. He says, not to neglect the gift that's in him. Hey, he said, meditate on these things in verse 15. All these things that he's given him. He said, take heed. He said in verse 15, that thy profiting may appear to all. He said that it's not only profit for you, but it's profit that will appear to everybody. He said, look, if you read and you exhort and you study in that doctrine and live by it, and he says you don't neglect the gift that's in you, and you meditate upon these things. He said, give yourself to these things. Give yourself to the Word of God. Give yourself to godliness. Give yourself and that to being a good example. And he said, all these things are going to appear out in your life. And so I think of it in reverse, that when we don't do these things, those things also that lack appear in our life also. When there is a lack of study, people tell on themselves. When there is a lack of doctrine, you can talk to people and find that out after a while. But he said, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continuing then, he said, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And he said, you do these things. And I believe he's talking about salvation in the fact. I believe Timothy's already saved here. But he said, you're going to save yourself and those that hear you, and that from falling, and that from the right doctrine into the wrong doctrine. It's going to be an encouragement to them. But I want you to look in verse 12 what he says. He said, first of all, let no man despise thy youth. I believe Timothy was a young man.
Amen.
I believe Timothy is now, at one point he becomes the first pastor at the church at Ephesus. We find that he's a young man, and Paul knew that because of his age, there was going to be some people and that not listen to him. There's going to be some people that despise him and that because simply of his age. I was told when I come down here, I was 26 years old when I took this church, and they said it's a good thing you didn't preach like you was 26.
Yeah.
I guess that was good. Amen.
Yeah.
I like to think that I had a little maturity about me and understood just a little bit. But he makes this statement after this. Hey, by the way, just because somebody's young don't mean they can't serve God. Just because you're young don't mean God don't expect some things out of you as much as he does everybody else. If you're saved, he expects you to grow. He expects you to learn. He expects you to live for him. Amen. If you're saved, you ought to have a life that is pleasing to the Lord.
Right.
We find this word, example. And this is what I want to preach on real quick. I know what time it is. Man, we've already got to dinner time, ain't we? So I guess here's the word. If you'll listen fast, I'll preach fast. So here we go. He said, but be thou an example. That word example means a pattern or a copy. It means a person fit to be proposed for a pattern or one whose conduct is worthy of imitation. I find at one point that Paul tells the church, he says to be followers of me as I am followers, as I am a follower of Christ.
Yeah.
Paul
yeah.
said, pattern your life after my life as I pattern mine after his. And I believe that's a good statement of being an example. The Lord gave us in the book of 1 Corinthians, I believe it was, he said that Israel was our example of some things not to do. We find in the book of John chapter 13 when the Lord Jesus Christ washes his disciples' feet over there. And by the way, that is not an ordinance of the church. You know what he done? He says, if I've done to you, so you do to others. He was teaching them about being a servant. He said, I've give you this example in Hebrews chapter 8 when God gave the pattern and that of the tabernacle to Moses. The Bible said that that was an example of the heavenly tabernacle in Jude chapter 1 when it talks about Sodom and Gomorrah being an example of the vengeance of God himself that's poured out upon that sin of sodomy. They were the example. What's that say about our nation? Sodom and Gomorrah was the example in that for the sin of homosexuality. I reckon where our nation's headed. I reckon if that example, hey, it's going to come true one day, friend. There is an example of vengeance of God. There is an example of the judgment of God. And it's going to come to pass. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2. He said this, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his footsteps or follow his steps. He is our example. He is our example. Now, whether you think or not that you're an example, you are. When you tag yourself as saved, or you tag yourself as a Christian, you have become an example. Whether good or whether bad. You know, we have good examples and we have bad examples. Whether good or bad, you are an example. It's kind of like this, you moms and dads, it's raising young ones. You are an example. Whether you want to be, you are. And you can say, do as I say, not as I do, all day long. And you know what your kids are going to do? They're going to do what you do. They're going to follow you by example. My daddy used to tell me, I grew up in a house that, he chewed backer and dipped snuff. And man, that looked so appealing. My grandfather done that. I had that Garrett and Son snuff, you know, over there in that little tan box, and he kept a silver spoon down in it. And we ate it like candy. We were dumb, you know. Had it all over our face, you know, had snuff. And I'm talking about snuff now. That nasty old stuff. But listen, he would tell me, you don't need to chew this or you don't need to dip this, but you know what I done? It looked good.
Amen.
And so I done it. Right. Even though he would tell me not to do those things. Listen, I'm just saying that you can tell your children how to live, but I'm going to be honest with you, it's better to show them how to live than to tell them how to live. And so we find, I got 2 points this morning, we're going to go on. But number one, first of all, I want you to look at the requirements of being a good example. Now whether you're on the job or whether you're in school or whether you're in public, whether you're at home or whether you're by yourself, hey friend, we are to lead and that by example, especially for those in authority that's got a spotlight on them. You raising kids, you got a spotlight. You teaching Sunday school, you got a spotlight. Yeah, I'm pastoring a church. I use a spotlight on me. As much as I wouldn't want one sometimes, that's just the way it is.
Amen.
Just the way it is. You can't change how it is. And whether you think a spotlight's on you or not, as I said at the very beginning, you say, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, I'm living for God. Hey, there's a spotlight gets on you. And people are watching. I want you to look at, first of all, the requirements of a good example. Look with me what he said right here in verse 12. He said, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. So he told Timothy, he said, you be an example of somebody that's saved. And then he tells him how, and that to be an example. The very first thing he said is in word.
Right.
He said, be an example in word. How we speak, how we talk, we need to be an example. Our speech should be different than that from the world's speech. Do you know we shouldn't talk like the world? How the Bible says right here, the Lord Jesus did in Matthew 12. He said, O generation of vipers, how can you be an evil? Speak good things. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You know your mouth says what's in your heart.
Amen.
Amen. It's going to come out. How do you know? A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Boy, ain't that something. We're going to stand before heaven and a righteous Father one day, and we're going to give an account for every word that we've uttered out of our mouth. Ain't that something. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Hey, he said, if you want to be a good example of a believer, he said, then it's in your mouth what comes out. Talk right. Speak right. He said in the book of Matthew chapter 26, when it's talking about Peter over there, he's gathered up around the fire. And you know what? He's denying the Lord Jesus Christ. He denies Him. And finally a little girl comes out to her and says, you're one of them. And he says, no, I'm not. Another time somebody else says something about him being one. He says, no, I know not the man. And finally he's standing around that fire. And they said, we've seen you with him. We know that you're one of them because your speech bereath you. You know what that word bereath means? Betrays. Peter didn't talk like them. Peter had been with the Lord Jesus Christ. His speech was a little different. As a matter of fact, it's a whole lot different than the rest of them. I mean, it was different. I mean, Peter just had words and didn't use words that these men used. And Peter said, I know not the man. And the Bible said that he began to curse right then.
Amen.
He said, I don't know him. And he began to curse. And right then, that rooster over there crowed. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Colossians chapter 4, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. I preached not too long ago about letting our temper get away from us and it controlling our mouth. And I've done that on several occasions. Let my temper get away from me and let it control what's coming out of my mouth. Sometimes you better get everything in park, take a big deep breath and say, Lord, need a little help with what I'm about to say. And get your, if you got to turn away and walk away, you do it. But get your speech right. Hey, Paul said we're going to be, and that an example of the believer in work. We're either going to be a good example or we're going to be a bad example. Then he talks about our conversation. Was conversation and word not the same? Oh, no. The word conversation in your King James Bible means deportment or your conduct, how you carry yourself. So not only in how we speak, but how people see us live. See, it's one thing to say something, and we can have good speech, but boy, it's another way to live.
Amen.
Right, ain't it?
Amen.
You ever heard the saying, you know, you better, if you're going to talk the talk, you better walk the walk?
Right.
That's what Paul's saying. He said, not only are we an example by how we speak, but by how we walk, our deportment. We go in that back to the book of Philippians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul said, only let your conversation as it becometh the gospel of Christ. He said that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. So he's talking about how they live. He said, let your conversation and that be as it becometh the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let it point to Him. He said, 1 Peter 2, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that they may by your good works. See there? We're talking about our works, what people see, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. How we live. You can tell me that you love God. You can tell me that you want to serve God and that you are serving God, but when how you're living says something different, that speaks a whole lot louder than what you're saying.
Amen.
Out of your mouth.
Amen.
Amen. What kind of example are we? Where are we? As being an example of the believer. Paul said be an example in our conversation. How you live does matter. 2 Peter chapter 3 tells us this. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? He said everything we've worked for, everything we've done, going to be vanished away, going to be burned up. He said, and all that's going to last is our holy conversation and our godliness. That's what's going to last. So how are you living today? Then he talks about our charity. I'm talking about being a good example. Yeah. Quickly in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I'll turn there and read this, and then we've got to move on. Hey, listen, if your Bible says love, you got the wrong Bible. Listen, the King James Bible says charity. There is far more to charity than the word love. People substitute that there, and that's the wrong substitution. If God wanted to say love, He'd have made it say love.
Amen.
He made it say love everywhere else He wanted to say love.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, charity goes far beyond love. It's love in action.
Amen. Come on.
And not only is it love in action, but charity is love in action that lets us look over the faults of others. Do you know that? Now, not necessarily the sin of others, but the faults of us.
Amen. Come on.
Hey, you better be glad some folk had some charity with you.
Yeah. Amen.
Because they've looked over some things about you.
Absolutely.
They've looked over some things
Amen.
About me in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm become a sound of brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. He said, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It does not lift itself up. It is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. That means something that's unfit or not fit. You see, seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. Charity never faileth. He said, you and I need to be an example of the believer
Amen.
In charity. In our long suffering, we need to be an example. In our kindness, we need to be an example. In our humility, we need to be an example. See, charity covers a lot of things, don't it, you see? We think of charity of putting in when they're ringing the bell at Christmas time down there at the department store and we're going to put in a little money down there at the Salvation Army, or we give some in that to the homeless shelter. We think of that as charity, and it is. But it goes far more than that. As a believer, we ought to have charity. You can tell me that you're saved. You can tell me that you're saved all you want to. But if you don't love your neighbor and show love to your neighbor, I begin to wonder about it.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Especially if your neighbor is in need. You say, well, they're just old and ornery and all these things. Hey, listen, I didn't find nowhere in Scripture where the Bible said, now, if your neighbor's just old and ornery, then you don't have to love them.
Come on.
I didn't find no stipulations on that.
Come on.
And you say, I'm just like you are. Don't let me fool you. I don't want to fool with somebody that's old and ornery neither. I don't want to fool with nobody that's young and ornery.
Yeah, come on.
Amen. They got too much pep about them if they're young and ornery.
Yeah,
amen.
Amen. Come on.
But listen, that don't give us a ride in that not to show charity. Paul said, look, I can give everything. I can have all faith and can remove mountains. He said, I can have the voice of angels. And he said, it's just no more than sound of brass and tinkling cymbal. You sound good at what you're saying, but you sure ain't living it. I'd rather somebody get something out of what they see in my life because they're watching.
Amen.
I mean, I want you to get something out of what I got to say, but I want you to get something out of how I live.
Right.
Being an example. He said, not only in word and in conversation and charity, in spirit. I believe he's referring to that, to our zeal right here. Listen, how that we have zeal about us, our desire and our enthusiasm, our drive. Now, if you stayed up till 2 o'clock last night, I doubt to what you had a lot of drive when you got here this morning. Some of you may have stayed up later than that. If you can get up, and if you can run to burn both ends. I sang this morning. I remember a time when I could used to burn both ends of the candle, and we done it. We wouldn't get but just a few hours sleep and start the day all over again and done that day in and day out. Hey, but that catches up with you eventually.
Amen.
I remember a time when Friday rolled around and me and my wife was ready to go. When Friday rolls around, you know where we're ready to go? Bed. You think I'm kidding, Master. 9 o'clock, we're ready to go to bed on Friday night. Biggest night of the week, Friday evening. Go out, we could eat lunch or eat supper, have a big time. What do? Go to bed. Amen. Turn the lights out, pray that nobody calls, and fall asleep on the couch watching TV. Tired. You know why? Got older.
Amen.
But we ought to have a drive about us when it comes to serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody tells me that they're saved and they ain't got no drive, drag in here to church. And boy, just sat on the pew like a knot on a log. And like I say, we were out of pocket, didn't have choir singing, and can't get excited about the choir singing, can't get excited about the preaching, can't get excited about the special singing, the Sunday school, just can't get excited. Hey, there's something wrong with you. Can't get excited about witnessing, winning somebody, and that to Jesus. Something wrong. He said, you need to be an example of the believer in spirit. You ought to have a drive about you, one that wants to go. Have some enthusiasm or to shine as a Christian. You kids ought to shine at school. It's ought to just shine at school that they know there's something different about you. Whether you're in grammar school, elementary school, whether you're in high school or college, you ought to just shine and be there. Hey, on the job, you ought to shine and have a spirit about you that's different. Have a different spirit than that the world has. But then he says not only that, but he says to be an example in faith. A lot, as I was reading this, I've read before after some men, it says that ought to say faithfulness. Again, if God wanted to say faithfulness, he'd have said faithfulness.
Right.
You ought to be an example in faithfulness. I'll be honest with you about that. I'll deal with that here in a minute. But listen, he says in faith. We ought to be a people that has faith. You ever just seen people tell you that you're saved and that they're Christians, but yet their faith is so weak? They doubt and pout and carry on all the time, wring their hands and wonder what's going to happen? Hebrews 11:6, I says, but without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Amen.
Boy, I try my best not to wring my hands no more or worry. You say, well, preacher, you've been talking and preaching lately on faith about how that God may not come through. That don't mean I ain't got faith. God may or may not. Hey, let me, and I said this Wednesday night, and I'll say it again. If God said it in His book, it'll come to pass.
That's right. That's the truth, brother. Come on.
But what I want you to understand is, and I'll use myself as an example, and I hope it never happens, but if I ever get cancer, I believe He can heal me. If you get it, I believe He can heal you. But I don't know if that's God's will or not.
Amen.
But I do know this, that whether He heals or He does not heal on the authority of God's Word, He'll see you through it all.
That's right.
I do
Amen.
Know that.
Amen.
Well, it's easy for you to say, preacher, when you're standing up there healthy. I agree it's easy for me to say when I'm standing up here healthy. It's real easy for me to make that statement. You know why that I can make that statement? I've watched Him do it for other people. I've watched saints of God, and that just shriveled away. Some that were giants to me. And by the time they left here, had just shriveled up, their body had shriveled up. That old disease had eat them up. But that didn't mean God wasn't real, that their faith wasn't real.
Amen.
But I just chose to take them home. Sometimes we apply our faith into knowing what God wants. I've got faith that He can do it all. Amen. I do. I've got faith He can do it all. It's just in His will. Read the book of 1 John over there. Not only in faith. Hey, listen. If you're going to have faith, first of all, you need saving faith. Ephesians 2 talks about, for by grace are you saved through faith. You must believe that Jesus died and was buried and rose again for you and ask Him to save you. Now, don't let me lose you. Listen, the Bible talks about how we're to live and we're to walk by faith. We're to be a people of faith. He talks about impurity. Now I'm talking about the requirements of being a good example. Impurity, how that we ought to live clean and live holy before this world. Live separated out of it. From the music that we listen to the TV that we watch, to the things that we do with our body, the words that come out of it, what we put in it, hey, everything, we ought to live separated from it, even in how we dress. Preach on modesty again. Preacher, don't you know that you're supposed to preach on how to dress right in December and get Santa Claus in July? No, let's just do it right. You ought to dress right. Amen. Whether you think so or not, you ought to dress right. And if you'll look in this book, you'll find how it takes to dress.
Yes.
I ought to dress right. Yeah. Amen. I ought to speak right. I ought to talk right. I ought to have a good example in purity in my thoughts. You ought to have a good thinking. Well, it talks about wisdom of ours in the book of Proverbs. Solomon does. And it talks about how when you lay down and you sleep, it'll keep you. Man, I not only want it to keep me while I'm awake, I want it to keep me while I'm sleeping. Have you ever woke up from a dream and it was so true, seemed so true, but that memory stuck in your mind and you can't get rid of it? As long as it's a good memory and as long as it's a pure memory, that's good. You know why I want you to put right things in your mind? The Bible talks about, again in the book of Proverbs, I believe it is, that in a multitude of business, a man has dreams. What you dream about in the middle of the day, you was riding with Doc all day that day, wasn't you? Nicholas the big cowboy. Dream. Amen. I'm telling you, what you put in, it comes out. But the requirements to be a good example. Well, then number two, the reason for us to be a good example. Stay with me, I'm going to close. You may say that it does not matter how I live or if I come to church faithfully or if I do these other things that you've talked about, but it does. Now, first of all, the Lord commanded us to be a good example. If you don't want to be a good example for no other reason, you do it because the Lord commanded you to right here. He said, but be thou an example of believers in word and conversation in charity and spirit and faith in purity. He said, be an example of the believer, what the believer should be. And by the way, we get all that out of the Word of God.
Amen.
But then we ought to be a good example. The reason of our good example is because of the one that we're representing. The one that we're being an example of. So we're being an example of somebody, not of something. We're being an example when the word Christian is tied to our life. That means to be Christ-like. And we're being an example of Him. The Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 5, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. He said, look, the Lord Jesus did. He's on the Sermon on the Mount up there. And he's up there on the mount preaching. And one of the things he said is, let your light shine that folk may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. He said, not that they can glorify you. See, that's why we're a good example. Not for our sake, but for His sake. I wouldn't want to do anything to bring shame and reproach on the Lord Jesus Christ. I wouldn't want to do nothing to bring shame and reproach that would make my daddy. I'm 42 years old and my daddy's 69, and I would still hate to do anything to make him ashamed of me to this day. That's the way I feel about that. You may not feel that way. I feel that way. But more than that, I wouldn't want to do anything that would make the Heavenly Father and that ashamed of me. Bible talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, now then we are ambassadors for Christ.
Amen.
As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. Paul said, we're ambassadors. You get saved, you're an ambassador. You're
Amen.
The one representing somebody else. You're representing the Lord Jesus. You know why you need to be a good example? You're representing the Lord. There's coming a day you're going to give an account for that. Last of all, you know why else you need to be a good example? Hey, somebody watching you. These little ones running around here, some of them's taller than I am now, and we still call them little. Those that are new to the faith, those that are growing in the faith, hey, us that are older in the faith ought to be a good example
yeah,
to them. I want you to take your Bible and go to the book of Titus. I want you to go there, and we're fixing the close, okay? Man, I have preached faster than I have in a long time. Titus chapter 2. I want you to look in verse 1. He kind of gives Titus the same kind of thing here. He says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men may be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded." As I read in this passage of Scripture, and he lays out how for the aged men and the aged women, one of the things that he lays out for the aged women, if you look right here in verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober. And then he says to love their children and love their husband, to love their children, to be discreet. You know why they have to teach you to love your children? Sometimes, man, they get hard to love, don't they? Your husband, ladies, will get hard to love sometimes. Nobody said amen right there. I was waiting on my wife. He said to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. How do they teach? Granted, they probably teach by word. And granted, as you're raising your daughters, ladies, you teach them and that by word. Now, here's what you do. You actually teach them. But you'll teach them far more by example.
Amen.
Than you ever will by word. And so, as you're raising your children, whether men, you need to be raising them boys right. Teach them how to be young men. Teach them if you're going to let your children date, if you're going to let them go out, to respect that girl. If you find out any different, you're going to woodshed him. Amen. Boys, don't you let me find out that you disrespected a young lady. We're going to have a problem. Say, what are you going to do? We'll find out when we get there. Hey, if she ain't got no respect for herself, you don't need to be around her.
Amen.
Say amen right there. If she acts like she's for sale and dresses like she's for sale, hey, guess what? She's probably for sale.
Amen.
You need to stay away from her. She'll get you in trouble. That's what the Bible talks about, the strange woman over there. Well, wasn't that good? That wasn't even here. Boy, that's real good. I enjoyed that.
That's good, bro.
But you lead in that by example because there's somebody watching you. Somebody is watching you. Who's watching you? You got a pastor full of youngins, or maybe one youngin at your house? They're watching you. Hey, you know the best way to teach faithfulness? Be faithful, you say it. Best way to teach faithfulness is for you to be faithful. You want to teach your children how to be faithful to church? You be faithful to church. They'll catch on. Want to be faithful to serving God? You be faithful to serving God. We'll teach them how and that to be faithful in Bible reading. Be faithful yourself. Faithful in that to flee sin. Be faithful yourself. Faithful in that to be a daily Bible reader. Faithful yourself. I would like to think that I have shown myself and that little faithful in the Word of God that it comes out while I'm preaching. I would like to think that. We run into some folk, me and my wife did, just the other day, that we had went to church with years ago, as when me and her first got married, and even before we got married, and some that we'd went to school with, and she was doting on her kids. And let me say, you got good young'uns, it's awful hard not to dote on them, amen. And we said, oh yeah, I said, so they've been to church with some of our young'uns, some of our teenagers. They've come on to church with them, and we've met them. And they said, and here's what they said. They said, yeah, we don't mind to let our kids run around with them because they're not going to get into any trouble when they're with them. I thought, man, that just spoke volumes. Volumes. That somebody else, outside the church, outside the family, outside of everything, could see the example. That was just volumes. And I was so tickled to death when that got said. Man, that just bubbled up. You say, why did it tickle you? They ain't your young gel, but man, they're here at our Sunday school. They've listened to me preach. I like to think I had a little help in it. Amen. You know what he told Timothy? He said, be an example. He said, just be an example of the believer. Let's bow our heads this morning.